Everyone, it's been a little while since I've been on Facebook. We've been out of town, and the area that I was in did not have Wi-Fi, and so that's why we haven't been broadcasting the last 4 or 5 days. I've sorely missed everyone. You realize how important your friends are when you have to be away from them for a little bit. So I have missed y'all. Just to give you an updated report, the manager of our rental property's mother, who lived with him, had a massive heart attack and died. And so that really caused a major hurdle in our rental properties and the management thereof. And so we had to go up there and kind of pick up the slack. And Rob, the guy that oversaw our properties the last 9 years, is moving up to Indiana. He did not deal real well with his mother's passing. They were very close. Rob has a brother who is full-blown autistic, who's older. And him and his mother cared for Christian. His father has been remarried and living with his second wife. And so they came down and picked up Christian and Rob and took them back to Indiana. So that's the update for this 24th of September. And let you know a little bit, you know, what has transpired, why you haven't heard from us on YouTube, why you haven't heard from us on Facebook, why we missed our Sunday service. Our ox got stuck in the ditch. Okay. We had to pull the ox up out of the ditch. All right. So that's really the that's really what occurred. But we have missed you all very much. You keep us in your prayers. It's a time of transition, you know, for us. Having a manager overseeing our properties for 9 years and then have him no longer there is a major, major change for us. Welcome aboard, Alan Taylor. So that's really what happened. We got a call last week, or I don't know the day actually, but Rob was all upset. His mother had fallen down in front of him, and had a massive heart attack and died. Like I say, he's the manager of our rental properties, and he did not handle his mother's death really well. And so his brother, who's, like I said, full-blown autistic, requires 24-hour care. So he was unable to continue to look over our property. So we found a father-son team that's going to help us. One of our tenants is going to help us overlook our properties. So we'll see how that works out. But it is a transition period. Well, this morning we're reading from Psalms, the 73rd chapter, 28th verse. It says, "It is good for me to draw near to God." You know, when these things happen in our lives and it causes a kind of a hurdle for us to overcome, it's always good for us to draw near to God, whether we're going through hurdles or not. "Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth." Psalm 26:8. "A day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." Psalm 84:10. "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. we shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Psalm 64:5. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Let the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Lamentations 3:25 and Isaiah 30:18. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Hebrews 10:19-20-22. Well, I was telling my wife this morning, as we get older, I've shared this before on sermon audio and Facebook and YouTube. There's a travel agency in Kansas City, and the guy has a slogan, making memories that last a lifetime. Okay. And so I have developed a new slogan taken off of this slogan from this guy that owns this travel agency. I told Rosette, I think I probably, only the Lord knows how long I have left. I could die today of a massive heart attack. I'm 66 years old. Or I could live to be however old. But I told Rosette my new slogan is making memories that last a decade. Okay, I'm planning on, I'm hoping I can be around for a decade. We'll see what happens. By the way, Donald Trump's favorite saying, do you know what Donald Trump's favorite saying thing is? If I've heard him once, I've heard him say it 100 times. And, I agree with this saying because it shows the sovereignty of God. I don't agree with Donald Trump on a lot of things. Good morning, Cats Whedon and Fred and MJ Avalos. We're glad to have you all with us, as well as Alan Taylor. But Donald Trump's favorite saying is, see what happens. We'll see what happens. He's right. We will see what happens. If we're around to see it, we'll see what happens. God is in control over all things. And anyone that says that he's not is saying that he's not God. If someone says God is not control over all things, then basically what they're saying is that God is not God. There must be someone else that's in control if God isn't in control. And I had a guy call me one night when we were still living up in Weatherby. That's where we just came from, Weatherby, Missouri. Town of, I think they have 94 people in that town. And he called me up on the phone. He listened to one of my sermons on sermon audio. And he said, there's one thing you don't understand. Welcome aboard, Charlie Harper. And I started laughing, And he said, what's so funny? I said, there's a lot more than one thing, brother. I said, there's a lot of things I don't understand. But I said, what specific one do you want to point at? And he said, well, what you need to understand. Now, when somebody tells you you must understand something or you have to understand something, watch out. They're trying to mind control you, is what they're trying to do. I don't have to understand anything, okay? Only God can reveal the truth to Larry Phillips and to anyone. Only God can reveal truth. But here's what he said. He said, you're so into the sovereignty of God, and you're so against the doctrine of free will and all this, but what you don't understand, and you need to understand, is that God gives man a free will, and that makes God more sovereign. Now, you try to figure that logic out. In other words, God gives man power over his own destiny, and that makes God more sovereign. What a joke. Well, Scripture tells us just the opposite. Scripture tells us just the opposite. And I'm going to give you a couple scriptures to validate what I'm saying. I try to back everything up by the Bible so that there's not any confusion about what God says. Ephesians 1:11 says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Okay, according to the purpose of him who worketh some things after the counsel of his own will. No. All things after the counsel of his own will. I've had people try to contend with me on the sovereignty of God, saying, well, you can't tell me that you picked out the color of tie you wore today. Of course, I don't wear neckties anymore. I used to wear neckties, but I don't wear them anymore. I don't like them. But anyway, but they'd say, you know, you can't tell me that God picked out the color of your tie. That fits into the category of him working all things after the counsel of his own will, including my red necktie. Okay, he works all things after the counsel of his own will. Well, he says, I had a minister tell me one time, oh, God predestinates the who and not the what. He predestinates the who and not the what. Well, that's not what this scripture says. This doesn't say he worketh only the who after the counsel of his own will, but not the what. No, this passage says very clearly, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things, that includes the who and the what. Okay? After the counsel of his own will. Now, what does it say over in verse 19? It says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? And so, when people want to come and say, well, but God gave me choices. God, yes, God gave you a mind. He expects you to use your mind. He doesn't expect you to get all wasted out on drugs and alcohol. And he doesn't expect you to be so open-minded your brains fall out. However, that all things means all things. Welcome aboard Charlie Harper and Parika Veraprasadaka. Veraprasadero. What a last name. Veraprasadero. Very interesting. Welcome aboard, Matthew John Branson. Now I want to show you another scripture here. I'm sure that you've seen this before, and I think that it's also very apropos for what we're talking about. And that is in Colossians, the first chapter. It says, verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven. For by him all things that were created that are in earth. All things that are, listen, all things that are created, all things created that are in earth are created by Jesus Christ. For by him were all things created that are visible and invisible. Just because you can't see something doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. You may not see atoms with your naked eye until you get a microscope. Okay, but God's the one that created them. Whether they're visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities. Look up that word principalities. Now we're going to get into the discussion of if God is, people say God is not the author of evil. That's not true. Right here it just tells us that all things were created by him, and it includes principalities. He created principalities. He created non-elect angels, okay? I had an old Primitive Baptist elder tell me one time, there's no such thing as non-elect angels. I said, really? How can there be elect angels mentioned in Titus? How can there be elect angels and not be non-elect angels? Well, you can have elect angels, but that doesn't mean there's non-elect angels. So I guess the non-elect angels are the ones that made themselves not elect, right? Free will again. No. Satan was created such that he would fall. Question. Could God have created Satan in a manner that he would not have fallen? Absolutely. Back to Romans 9. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. The children not being yet born, not having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. It's not of him that runneth, nor of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. For by him all things were created that are in heaven. We're in Colossians 1:16. All things are created by him. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things are created by him and for him. There's your answer as to why. The why he's sovereign is because he did it because it pleased himself. He's not answerable to his creation. We're answerable to him. He's not dependent upon his creation. We're dependent upon him. He's independent of his creation. Now I want to go and point out one other scripture before we close out this morning. I really got on a rant fast today, didn't I? Just let me not broadcast for 4 or 5 days and just see what comes out of my mouth. Okay, John, the 17th chapter. John, the 17th chapter, one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible, because it shows the absolute sovereignty of God in our salvation. Get back there for a minute. John 17. He says, verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh. That right there should stop everybody in their tracks that try to promote the free will of man. By the way, I would encourage you to get your hands on this book. And I'm not just promoting it because I wrote it, but I think it would be a really handy reference for you when people start trying to promote Arminianism. The lies of free will. Do you control your own destiny? And all you have to do is go to lulu.com. This will cost you a whole $6. Good investment. Lulu.com and put in the lies of free will, Larry Phillips. You'll get your boatload. Okay. Welcome aboard, Vijaya Kumari. Vijaya Kumari. And welcome aboard, Vijay. Got a good group with us this morning. Okay, John 17, 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh. All flesh. You don't want to think God has power over you? Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing is my answer if you believe that. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life, not temporary life, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. It doesn't say that he should give eternal life to all of those who repent. to all those who believe, to all those that confess his name, to all those who keep the Ten Commandments, to all those who are members of the First Baptist Church of Atlanta, Georgia. No. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Christ said back in John the 6th chapter, he said something very similar to what he just said there. What did he say in the 6th John? He said, starting with, we'll just start with verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. They call a bunch of the old school Baptists hard shells. And welcome aboard, Jeff Swayze. Glad to have you with us this morning. Why do they call some of the old Baptists hard shells? Because they like the shells in the Bible. They like the absolutes. We're living in a society where they teach that the only absolute is the fact there aren't any absolutes. I'm here to say there are absolutes. Okay? Welcome aboard, Kerry Tripp. This is the Father's will which has sent me. Now listen, he says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Anyone who's been given to Christ by the Father is an absolute certainty they're going to come to him. It says shall, hard shells. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He's not going to cast out any of his elect. That's what he means in 2 Peter 3:9 when he says that he's not willing that any of usward should perish. He's not talking about the whole world at large there. He's talking about his elect. I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. Wow, what a promise. Good morning, Peter Palace. Glad to have you with us this morning. And for everyone that wants to know why I've been off of this devotional for the last week, if you listen to the first part of this devotional, you'll get all the answers to that. We've been out of town in Weatherby. The manager of our rental properties, his mother had a massive heart attack and died, and we'll get into a little bit more of the description in the early part of this devotional. Verse 39, and this is the Father's will which has sent me, that all of which is given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, not temporary life, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him. Been a lot of people murmur against this doctrine. Murmur against it. But for us who are chosen in him from the foundation of the world, we love it. We embrace it. Well, 22 minutes of ranting. I hope you've enjoyed this little sermonette this morning. May you take these precious promises and apply them by the grace of God to your hearts. May the good Lord go with you in a special way this Tuesday morning. God bless.